Boker Tov, everyone, and wonderful to see you this morning on a very beautiful morning here in Yerushalayim. We're blessed to be here, and blessed to be able to learn together. Thank you for taking the time and coming on for the shiur this morning. And just a note about the shiur this morning in terms of the learning. So Bruce Lilling, who is on the Zoom this morning, as part of our shiur this morning, he has a yard site for his grandmother, whose name is Bessie Rubin, Basia Bas Avraham Yitzchak, and the learning this morning will be Le'iloi Nishmata. So we have Bruce in mind and his grandmother in mind this morning for our learning. Okay, this morning we're going to looking at a very fascinating, very interesting piece that's found in the Parsha from the Me'ashiloach, and we'll say a word or two about the Me'ashiloach as we come to the Me'ashiloach. But we're going to begin this week's Parsha is Parshas Emor, and we have a very challenging issue that opens the Parsha. Many of the Mefarshim struggle to understand the meaning and try to give some understanding to the mitzvah that opens the parsha. The mitzvah that opens the parsha relates to the law of a kohen, that a kohen cannot be mitamei lemet, that he cannot make himself spiritually impure to a dead body. And all of us are familiar with this idea. It's something that we see in our own day, we see in our own community in terms of a kohen who stands outside a funeral home, or a kohen that stands outside a cemetery, does not enter a cemetery in order not to become mitameh, not to become spiritually impure. And this is how the parasha begins. So let's just read the opening pasuk, the opening two pasuk in the parasha, just to see the words from the Torah itself. And there is a source sheet which is available to you. I'm not sure if you know how to access that. I'm not sure if I would know how to access that, but I have a hard copy in front of me. And so if you can take a look at that, and today, for the reading of the Me'ashiloach, we're also going to read a number of lines, his short passage in the Me'ashiloach. So if you have the source sheet, if you're able to access the source sheet and to see it, I think that would be helpful this morning. Okay, so let's just open with the psukim from the parasha, the beginning of Parashas Emor. This is Parachav Aleph in Vayikra, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Emor el HaKohanim, B'nei Aaron, Ve'amarta Alehem, L'nefesh lo yitama be'amav. So here we see the halacha that a kohen is not to become tamei by having contact with a dead body. That is that's the opening pasuk. By the way, I'll just point out something that the Me'ashiloach is going to touch on, and that is the double language in this pasuk, in the verse where it says Vayomer, and then it says Ve'amarta. So we have the word Omer, to say twice in the opening pasuk. Okay. However, we do know, and this is pasuk number two, Bet Ki'im L'Shei Ro'ach Karov Elav. But the kohen is permitted, not only permitted, but has an obligation to be mitamei, to become tamei, in relation to his krovim, those that are his closest relatives, his family members. So on the one hand, with the halacha that the kohen is not permitted to become tamei, to ames in general. However, there is the exception of family members, where to a family member, he is to engage and to interact with the dead body, with the corpse, where that's needed. Okay, so that is those are the opening psukim. That's the opening halacha and Parsha Zemor. And as we said, it's a very, very difficult idea as we begin to contemplate and try to understand why this is the case. Like, why is it that the Kohen is not permitted to become Tamei Lemes? Now, it's interesting, just thinking about, you know, in modern times, and as a rabbi at a rabbi on the American scene, it happens to be an area that a rabbi is involved with on a regular basis. You know, many rabbis, most rabbis are dealing with being at a burial, delivering a eulogy, visiting the house of a mourner. So the idea of a spiritual figure, and that's what we have in the Torah, the spiritual figure being told not to come close to and not to be in contact with a corpse, with a dead body. It's an interesting idea. Now, many of the commentators talk about the spirituality of the Kohen, the holiness of the Kohen, the purity of the Kohen. And the Kohen that is pure is not to come in contact with that which is impure. Again, those are really esoteric ideas. Those are metaphysical ideas, spiritual ideas. What does that mean exactly? That somebody who has this purity should not come in contact with impurity of a dead body. Okay, so that's a challenging idea. But I want to look now at the teaching of the Ishbitz, of the Ishbitzer, where he offers a different explanation, a very provocative explanation, as to why a Kohen is not to come in contact with a dead body. Now, we're looking, those that have the source sheet in front of you, we're looking at the second source on the sheet. This is taken from the Sefer called Me'ah Shiloach. This is written by Rabbi Mordechai Yosef Leiner, just in terms of his background. He is a Rebbe in Poland. He lives from 1801 to 1854. So he actually lives a relatively short life, only 53 years. And his work is considered to be presenting some provocative ideas. I mean, not the kind of standard Torah that one hears from Hasidic Rebbe's, kind of pushing the envelope in certain areas. And we'll come and see an interesting point here that Rabbi Shlomo Carlbach found the teachings of Ishbitz to be really fascinating, and he was maybe one of the few people in the modern era that was beginning to teach from the Me'ah Shiloach, and he found it some of these ideas to be very deep and ideas that would speak to a modern audience and to young people, and we'll see how that plays out in this piece. Okay, so I'm going to read now the explanation of the Me'ah Shiloach. Again, he is addressing the question why the Kohen, this halacha, why the Kohen is not permitted to come in contact with the dead body. So here we go. So he quotes the pasuk. If you're looking at the source sheet, Emor la Kohanim b'nei Aaron v'amarta lehem, l'nefesh lo yitama be'amav. Kohen nikra ha'oved Hashem, v'roe ki kol ha'asim ha'na'asim be'olam, einam b'mikre rak b'hashkacha me'et Hashem yitarach. So he begins by saying that the Kohen is symbolic, or he is representative of a person who has complete faith in God. He is the Oved Hashem, Ha-Oved Hashem. He is the servant of God par excellence. And in his faith, in his mind, in his heart, in his soul, he knows that everything that happens in this world is directly from God, is the hand of God. It's hashkacha or hashkacha pratit, that every single thing that happens is directly from God. Reading on now, v'yodea ki ritzon Hashem yiparach, hu rak lehetiv libriot. And he also knows something else. He also lives with a deep belief that everything that God does is only for the good. Only for the good. Even that which sometimes doesn't look like it's beneficial. Even that which sometimes looks like it's harsh. The truth is there's benevolence and there's goodness in everything that God does. Okay. However, here he is about to present a surprising idea. Ule Adam Kazeh, and to a person like this, Yuchal Lavo Ta'arumot, a person like this, it's possible that there will be a claim against God or a grievance against God. Now, if you believe with all of your heart and all of your soul that everything is directly from God, and you see something that's difficult to understand why God would do something that appears so harsh. So a person like that, with that strong belief, with that strong emunah, so that person may have a grievance with God, or what we might call a crisis of faith in God. It's kind of paradoxical. In other words, the more that you believe, right, the stronger your belief in God, and when you see things happening in this world that you simply can't understand why God would do that, so a person with that strong belief can find it even more difficult at times to understand the ways of God and to feel closeness with God, because you have such strong belief that everything that God does is the hand of God, is directly from God. Now you're wondering, and now it really bothers you why God would act in certain ways. Let's go to the next paragraph. Ki ha'adam shenigmar b'dato ki olam mikrehu. However, in contrast to this, somebody that kind of sees that the world, yes, there's a God in the world, but things just kind of happen by coincidence. There's also happenstance in the world. Not everything is directly from God. So to such a person, lo yachol lavo kol kach lidei taromet. So a person like that's not going to necessarily have a grievance against God. Kasher yired davar hanagah neged ritzono. If that person sees something that doesn't look like it fits into the scheme of what God would do in this world, ki omar mikrahu. Such a person would say, well, that's just chance. That's just, you know, that's just coincidence. So here we see something very interesting, and that is the Ishbitzer claims or wants to argue that the person of greater faith, if you're a person that has absolute faith in God, that person paradoxically can sometimes find it difficult to understand the ways of God and may question God and feel a certain grievance towards God. So that's the Kohen. That's the Kohen. That's the potential of the Kohen, because he's such a strong believer in God that person is going to feel a certain grievance or have a claim against God. Okay, we'll see how this plays out in a moment in terms of the halacha of not coming in contact with the dead. Ach adam hayodea ki hakol na'aseh bidei shamayim lazeh yuchal lavo taromet. Again, he comes back to that same point, but a person who has absolute faith in God, that person can find himself having a grievance against God. Now, here's the key line, or the explanation of the Me'ah Shiloach, why the Kohen does not come in contact with the dead body. Those that are following, we're four lines up from the bottom where I underlined, I believe, in this the piece. Vayideze Masir Kadosh Baruch Hu LeKohanim. Therefore, God says to the Kohanim, those that are the worshippers of God, those that represent the ideal worship of God, lenefesh lo yitama be'amav. To the soul, one should not become tamei. What does that mean? Haynu shelo yelahem taromet al mito dino shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ki tamei lenefesh haynu taromet al HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the warning here to the Kohen, the warning to the Kohen is not to become impure, that your nefesh should not become impure, that although you're going to see death, although you're going to come in contact with death, right, you should not have a grievance against God. You should not question the ways of God. And it seems that the Me'ah Shiloach is suggesting the following, and that is that the Kohen should not regularly be in contact with a dead body. That should not be something that the Kohen does on a regular basis, to be in contact with death. Because a person who's in contact with death and sees the harshness of death will question the ways of God. And it's better for the Kohen to avoid this, better for the Kohen to shy away. And the Torah prohibits the Kohen, for the most part. Again, there are times the Kohen is in contact with the dead, but for the most part, to stay at a distance from seeing death and engaging in death. Because when you see that, when you're in contact with that, says the Me'ah Shiloach, that's something that's very, very difficult to witness, very difficult to see, and can be very difficult on one's emunah as well. And here I find this to be very, very interesting, and that is that the Me'ah Shiloach, the Rebbe of Ishbitz, he's acknowledging the pain, the difficulty that we face when we experience death, but not only the emotional pain, but also in terms of our faith in God, in terms of feeling close to Hashem, and feeling that everything is really, that all that Hashem does is good. It's easy to say it, right? Easy to verbalize those words, to say that everything that God does is good, that it's all for the best. But when one experiences real crisis and real difficulty in life, so often that can lead to challenges in terms of one's emunah and a feeling of closeness. And this is what I believe the Ishbitzer is suggesting here, and making a very interesting claim that it's better for the Kohen, who is representative of pure faith in God and needs to be that role model for the Jewish people, that person does not have regular contact with death. Because seeing death, experiencing death, witnessing death, experiencing the death of a loved one is traumatic. And it can be traumatic in terms of one's faith in Hashem. So this is the explanation of the Me'ah Shiloach. Why is it that the Kohen is not to be in contact with a dead body? Because of the difficulty that raises in terms of the faith of a Jew in Hashem. Okay, let's read on now, just a few more lines in the Me'ah Shiloach. Ki ikar ta'arumot ha-matsui be'olam neged midot tadin. When is it that we feel distance from Hashem, or that we might have a grievance to Hashem? That is when we see something lacking in this world, or I think what he's referring to is when we see death in this world. We see death, and by the way, that's something that we all have, you know, thought about, that in some way we've come in contact with over these number of weeks in terms of dealing with the coronavirus, witnessing the death, seeing the death of others. And with that, all of us, and there's no way of not asking the question of why, you know, why is there this pain? Where did this virus, you know, where did it come from? Why all of a sudden are people affected by it? Why have so many people lost their lives for what appears to be, you know, a reason that we can't possibly grasp? And when one is engages in that and thinks about that, and certainly one who sees it up close, and God forbid, one who sees it within loved ones or their own relatives, so this is something that can cause a rift, a real difficulty in terms of feeling closeness and struggling with faith in Hashem. And this is what the Me'ah Shiloach is presenting the idea that our contact and our engagement with death, when that happens in our lives, it's something that can be traumatic spiritually. Okay. Now he says the following, and he quotes from the Zohar, Kemuvar b'Zohar. So the Zohar comments, and I mentioned earlier as we started the piece, that there are two terms that are used in the in this opening pasuk, where it says Vayomer, if you want to just go back to the pasuk itself, it says Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, and then it says Vamarta Alehem Lenevesh Lo Yitama Bamav. When God says this halacha, or teaches this halacha to the Kohanim, so a double language is used, Vayomer Ve'amarta. Now, what does that mean, Vayomer Ve'amarta? There are a number of explanations. The Zohar gives the following explanation. We'll read it right now. The words of the Zohar. Lachain Siva Hashem Yibat. We're three lines down in the second column for those that are following along. Lachain Siva Hashem Yibarach Emor El HaKohanim Ve'amarta Ki Ve'lechisha. The double language of Vayomer Ve'amarta means to whisper this halacha to the Kohanim, to whisper the halacha. Now, what is the word Vayomer and Vamarta mean a whisper? The word amar, as opposed to the word daber, daber is a harsher language. When the Torah uses the word daber, that's a stronger way of speaking. The word amar is a softer way of speaking. That's the word daber connotes a stronger a stronger emphasis. Amar is a softer. Now, when you have Vayomer and Vamarta, so you have softer and softer. So the Zohar says when you have the double language, Vayomer Vamarta, that's a whisper, that they whispered this halacha. Now, the question is, what does that mean exactly? That's what the Zohar says, that it was whispered to the Kohanim. Lachain Siva, going back to the text, Lachain Siva, Hashem Yiparach Emor al Kohanim, Vamarta hi b'lechisha. Hainu lilchosh la'ovdei Hashem shelo yelem taromet gam al midot hadin. It's a whisper to the Kohen not to have a grievance against God or against the judgment of God. Ki tamid kavanat Hashem yiparach ach leitiv. That the purpose of God is always only for the good. Af shinhag b'midot hadin gam az kavanato b'omek leitiv. Even when we see it as din, even when we experience thing that appears to us as being very harsh and very difficult, and we don't understand the ways of God, we are to believe that within that there is tov, there is good. So what does it mean, the lechisha, the whisper? This is the way that I would interpret it. There may be more than one way of interpreting what the Zohar means here. Lechisha means that somehow the Kohen has to hear, as difficult as it is, and this is true for all of us who are Ovdei Hashem, all of us that are yearning to be closer to Hashem, that we hear the whisper of Hashem. Even in the most difficult of circumstances, that we're able to lift our ears, to stretch our ears, to stretch our souls, and to be able to hear the truth. And the truth being that even with the difficulty, and even with that which we don't understand about ways of God, and even where things appear harsh, there is goodness in that as well. So this is the piece from the Me'ah Shiloach, a very interesting piece, an interesting take on the halacha of the Kohen not being metame lemes, the idea that it's very, very difficult for a person, and here in particular for the Kohen, who is the Oved Hashem par excellence, who is to be representative to the nation of the person of faith, if that person were to be exposed to death on a regular basis, to engage in burial, to be in the atmosphere of people passing away, if the Kohen were to do that on a regular basis, that would affect his pure emuna in Hashem. And so the recommendation of the Torah is that they distance themselves to that they are not in that setting regularly because of the difficulty that brings about in terms of faith. Again, I think the important point, or one of the important points that the Me'ah Shiloach is making, is acknowledging for all of us, for every Jew, the challenge that we face when we do, experience difficult times, harsh scenarios in our life. And but it requires us, all of us, to somehow, and it's not easy, I think that's what he means by the Zohar, to hear the lechisha, to hear the whisper of Hashem through the difficult times, and to know that Hashem is really extending a message to us of encouragement and of strength. Okay, that is the piece from the Me'ah Shiloach. Rabbi Shlomo Karlbach taught this piece in the Me'ah Shiloach, and he made the following comment, which is a very interesting comment. He said that following the Holocaust, he said a lot of rabbis walked around with a certain, we can use the word taromet, a grievance, or he said even an anger, a little bit of anger seeped into the hearts of the leadership of rabbis. Because they saw so much, those that saw it, those that experienced the pain, those that survived. And he said the next generation that were being brought up, the young people, were being taught by mentors and by rabbis that had a little bit of pain in their heart, a little bit of a grievance, a taina, a grievance against Hashem. And young people were picking up on that. And he claimed that they were then going to other places, you know, looking for other mentors that would teach them about love and about harmony and about joy and happiness. And a bit of that was lost following the Holocaust because of the exposure to so much pain, to so much suffering, and to so much death. And maybe there's truth there. Maybe there's truth. And I think that's one of the things that Shlomo Carlebach, what he tried to do after the Holocaust was with all of that pain, and he experienced it firsthand in terms of his family and his generation, but tried in some way to. So Shlomo Carlebach, he felt that post-Holocaust, this was the experience that that young people were being exposed to of leaders, of rabbis that were affected spiritually from the death that they saw around them. Okay, I want to make one other very interesting point in terms of this whole issue in terms of faith and doubt, and this is what the Me'ah Shiloach is addressing. In terms of the one hand, our faith in Hashem. On the other hand, there are times that we face difficulties in life where our faith is challenged. And I want to look at two places in Tfilah, two places in our davening, where we see this theme, where I believe, and others point out that we see this theme as being a central motif. And they appear in two very prominent places, very important places in davening. One is the very beginning of the Amidah. So when we stand at the Amidah, we are standing in the presence of Hashem. It's a moment of expression of faith in God. That is, when we talk about prayer, we talk about tefillah. That is really the moment of prayer, of tefillah, the Amidah, standing before God. We open, of course, with the Avot. We open with the foundation of our faith, and that is our forefathers, Elokei Abraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, where we stand before God and we declare that our faith is based in a faith of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who discovered God. And so we have the beginning of the Amidah is really about the foundation of faith, the very beginning of our faith. But look at this second paragraph of the Amidah, and it's interesting, it's something that I have not always thought about, and we kind of just take it for granted, that from that paragraph, we move into a paragraph of Tchiyat HaMetim, where we talk about the resurrection of the dead, the revival of the dead. Now, why is that? In other words, why are we talking about the resurrection of the dead? And by the way, if you go to the second page, if you have that in front of you, I mean, everybody I hear is familiar with this paragraph, but it's really striking when one sees it. We don't only make mention of Tchiyat HaMetim. We don't only make mention of it, but it's something that we reiterate. It's something that we repeat again and again and again and again. Actually mentioned five times, literally mentioned five times, and there are allusions to it in this paragraph, even beyond those five. So just to look at that paragraph for a moment, Atagi Bor Le'olam Hashem, Mechaye Meitim, that's number one, Atarav Le'oshia. Then we say, Mechakel Chaim V'chesed, Mechaye Meitim, number two, Rachamim Rabim. We go further in the paragraph, Mi Chamocha Bal Giburot, Umi Domelach, Melech Meimit U'Mechaye, number three, U'matzmech Yeshua, V'neman Ata, Lachayot Meitim, Tchiyat Meitim, number four, Baruch Atah Hashem, Mechaye HaMeitim, number five. Five times in the paragraph, but I'm not sure if we always take note of this. Five times we say the word Tchiyat HaMeitim. God, you are Mechaye HaMeitim, Mechaye HaMeitim, Mechaye HaMeitim, Mechaye HaMeitim, Mechaye HaMeitim. It almost sounds like, you know, it's overdone. Like, what are we doing here in this paragraph? So I would suggest the following, and I saw an idea, similar to this in a number of commentaries on the Siddur. The opening of the Siddur is the foundation. The opening of the Amidah, is the foundation of our faith. What this represents is the end of days. What this represents is the difficulty that we face, and the Ishbitzer makes this claim, one of the greatest difficulties to faith is experiencing death. When we witness the death of loved ones, of family members, when we witness death in general? That is a question that we all have. Those that believe in Hashem, like the Ishbitzer says, the Kohen who believes so sincerely and so deeply in God, when we believe so deeply in God and we see that which we don't understand, so that raises a question for us. But the answer is, there is an answer. The answer is that that which we don't understand, and death in particular, which we don't understand, one day a time will come where we will understand it, where there'll be an answer. And death in particular, we will see Tchiyat HaMetim, those that were taken from us, that we will embrace again. So as we stand before God, and the Amida is the moment that we stand before God, where we come face to face with God, and face to face with our own emuna, our own faith in God. And we may have struggles. As the Ishbitzer says, we all have struggles. That's natural. And the more that we have faith, the more that we have faith, maybe the more that we struggle with God and seeing the goodness of God. As we begin the Amida, and we proclaim the foundation of our faith, and that is Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, we then move to the paragraph, what's called in the Gemara, what's called Gevura, which means the greatness of God. Although we don't understand everything about God, we know the greatness of God. And we proclaim and we declare that even questions that we may have, and questions in particular in the area around death, around loss of life, we proclaim, we declare a faith in Hashem, Mechaye Metim. And we don't say it once, we say it again and again and again. And that's how our the Amida begins. Interesting perspective on those two paragraphs that begin the Amida, which in my mind, what I would suggest, reflect the two areas of faith. One is the good times where we can easily, you know, state our faith in God, where it's natural, where it happens naturally, and other times we stand before God and it's more difficult and we're more challenged in terms of seeing the goodness of God. And so there we say, and every single day, three times a day, we say Mechaye HaMetim, that God, we believe in absolute faith that we will understand that the end of days will come, a time will come where all the pieces that we were not able to put together and were not able to understand, and some of the greatest struggles and some of the greatest challenges to ourselves personally and to the Jewish people, that we will understand that it will all come together, it will be understood, and we'll see the goodness of Hashem. We'll know that all of that was really only for good. That's the second paragraph of the Amida, Mechaye Metim. Okay, one other very poignant and worthwhile place to look in our davening that I believe also addresses, and Rabbi Soloveitchik makes this point that I'm about to share, that addresses this issue of faith in Hashem in where it comes more naturally, in good days, on sunny days, and faith in Hashem at night when we face more difficult times. And that is the Kedusha. And we know the Kedusha, in the Kedusha itself, we're going to see this theme. The Kedusha is, it's called the Kedusha, the holy prayer. It's the holiest prayer that we say. It's actually a prayer that we cannot verbalize unless we are saying it within a minyan. When we say it b'yichidus, as many of us over the last few weeks, and people in general that are not davening with a minyan, so we don't have the opportunity to say these words. So these words have great meaning and great depth and great holiness to them. The Kedusha is made up, the daily Kedusha, and I have it here on the page in front of you. It's made up of essentially three different verses from Tanakh, three different selections from Tanakh. The first is from Yeshayahu, from Isaiah. The second is from Yechezkel, and the third is from Tehillim. So the first we say from Yeshayahu, from Isaiah, and the famous lines, Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzevakot, Melo Chol Haaretz Kevodo. We turn to God, and we turn to the world, and we say, Holy, 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 Hashem Tzevakot, Hashem in all of His glory, Melo Chol Haaretz Kevodo. He fills the world, Malei Chol Haaretz Kevodo. we see the kavod, we see the beauty of Hashem, we see the honor, we see the glory of Hashem. And we proclaim, we sing, kadosh, 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 we see the holiness of Hashem. It's all around us. That is Yeshayahu. And Rabbi Soloveitchik says this is what Yeshayahu proclaims because he sees, he witnesses in Eretz Yisrael, he sees with the Beit HaMikdash, he sees the beauty of Hashem. But then we go to a pasuk in Yechezkel, Ezekiel. Ezekiel, this pasuk is a pasuk that is recited or said by Ezekiel in exile outside the land of Israel in a very difficult time, in a very traumatic time. And what is the verse that we say? What does Yechezkel say? And what is it that we say in the Kedusha? Baruch Kevod Hashem. We say, blessed is the Kevod. That's the same word that we used, that Yeshayahu uses, the honor of Hashem. But where is that honor of Hashem? Is it Meloch Al Haaretz Kevodo? Do we see it all around us? Is it apparent? Is it visible? Is it shining? No. What does Yechezkel say? Mimekomo, from his place, from some place, from Mimekomo, from a place that we can't easily access, from a place that is distant from us. Blessed is the honor or the glory of Hashem that is mimkomo, that is from his place, meaning that it's not easily accessed, not easily experienced, not easily felt. We know it to be true. We believe it. We declare it. But it's not meloch al haaretz kevodo, but it's not something that we're soaking up. Right? It's not something that's shining into our hearts. So we see something very interesting in the Kedusha, this holy prayer of Kedusha. When we talk about Hashem, there's the experience of Hashem, of feeling Hashem's presence, where it's tangible, we feel that we can grasp it, where it's very much a part of our lives. This is like the pasuk in Tehillim. Tov la'odo la'Hashem u'lezamer l'shimcha al-yom la'hagid baboker chazdecha. Baboker, in the morning, when it's light out, so chazdecha, we feel the chesed of Hashem. It's so easily to grasp it and to sense it. However, ve'emunatcha balelot, but in the night, when it's dark, that's when we need the emunah, we need faith, the faith in Hashem, to hold on to a feeling that Hashem is close and with us. And here we find this theme in the Kedusha as well, which is really fascinating. Again, the opening statement, we say, yes, God's glory is everywhere, we can feel it, but at other times, that's not as apparent, right? Not as easy to access. And then we recite Baruch Kevod Hashem Imkamo. So this is the duality. This is what every Jew, what we all struggle with. But then there's one more verse that we say, the concluding verse of the Kedusha, and we say, and there's a pasuk from Tehillim. Again, Kedusha is these three lines, the daily Kedusha. And then we end off, Yimloch Hashem le'olam, Elokayach Tzion le'dor ba'dor haluyah. That I'm going to give praise to God. God reigns forever. Yimloch Hashem le'olam, Elokayach Tzion le'dor ba'dor. And generation through generation, God is there. And to me, this is this is what the Ishbitzer, the whisper, so to speak, that the Ishbitzer speaks of. That on the one hand, there are moments of great where it's easy, where it comes naturally, faith in Hashem. Other times where we struggle, but we are always to have faith, to hear the whisper of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, always proclaim, have the bitachon, to have the faith, that Yimloch Hashem le'olam, that God is always there, that everything that God does is for the good, and to be able to reach deep inside our hearts and our souls, and to feel that and to know that. Okay, and just to conclude, and this is from a piece from Rav Kook. And this is really the question. I mean, the question that, you know, this piece on the Ishbitzer kind of leaves us, it's a bit uneasy. I mean, it's not, as I said, he's willing to acknowledge, to put out there the fact that the man of faith, the woman of faith, that there are times that it's easier and there are times that it's more difficult, that it's more challenging. And that's the honest truth. That's what it means to be a person of faith. And a person, as the Ishbitzer says, the person of real faith, who's really close to Hashem, has deep emunah, may struggle with it even more and needs to struggle with it even more. So the question is, How do we not despair during difficult times? How do we hold on to that faith in Hashem during difficult days, during difficult moments? And I don't know if there's an easy answer to that question. One answer is the question that the Ishbitzer ends his piece with, and that is to believe that everything and to know that everything is for the good. To know that although we don't necessarily see it and we're not able to grasp it in our limited thought, limited minds, but everything is really for the good, and we'll see, ultimately we will see that goodness. But there's one other idea that I'll end with, and that is from Rav Kook. And Rav Kook interprets a bracha that we make every day. One of the first brachot, blessings that we say every morning, is the bracha hanotein layaev koach, that Hashem gives strength to the weary. Hashem gives strength to the weary. So the simple meaning of that bracha, of course, as we're getting up in the morning, is the idea that God gives us the strength to get out of bed. that was the tradition going back a long time, that these blessings, these brachot, were actually said as you would do those actions in the morning. And when you would finally, you know, dress yourself and put on your shoes and put on your belt and put on your hat, and you said all those brachot that are related to those items, you would end by saying Hanotein Laya'ef Koach. It's been a long day and I had that good night's sleep, and you revived my strength. So that is one way, and certainly that is the pshat, you know, that is the basic meaning of that bracha. But there's another meaning as well, and that is the prayer, the blessing. It's a prayer and a blessing. Hanotein Laya'ef Koach, that when we come to the end of the line, when we feel that we have very little strength left during difficult times, during traumatic times, during crisis, that we know that Hashem gives us strength, that Hashem gives us the added strength needed to be able to withstand the difficult trials in life, and to be able to feel that. And that's the blessing that we say in the morning. Thank you, Hashem, for injecting within me strength that only you inject with me, that it comes directly from you as a blessing from you. I just want to see just a few, we're not going to read the whole paragraph, but it's always nice just to read a few words from Rav Kook to see the way that he expresses this. We'll read one line from Rav Kook. I underline in Rav Kook, but if you have it in front of you, I'm just going to read one line. It's five lines up from the bottom, where he begins. It's the second word on the line. It's a new sentence. V'zehu hakoach ha'eloki. When we talk about this koach, the strength that God gives us, reviving us with strength, that is a strength that comes directly from God. Hanatun b'matnat Shaddai. This is a special gift that Hashem gives, directly to us. Midei Adon kol haneshamot. That it comes from the hand of the Adon, from the master of all souls, right? It is God that oversees our souls. It is God who cleanses our soul. It is God who gives strength to our soul. L'yitzurav hachosim b'tzel kenafav, to those that place themselves within the wings of God, when you feel embraced by Hashem. La'amod lahem be'et kolok kocham, that God gives them the strength to withstand, to hold on, the eight kolot kocham, when at the time where they feel that they have no strength left, kolot kocham, when their strength seems to just be ebbing away. And this is referring to emotional and psychological, strength that we need in order to withstand the trials in life that we all face, that everybody faces. So this is the message of the Ishbitzer, the Rebbe of Ishbitz, acknowledging the difficulties and the trials that we all face in life. And when we turn to our tefillah, our tefillah, embedded within our tefillah are these messages, is a recognition that that all of us face these challenges, but most importantly, we extend to Hashem faith in Him, and know that Hashem is with us, that He stands at our side, And according to Rav Kook, very beautifully, that bracha, we can have kavana every morning as we recite that bracha, knowing that Hashem is hanotein le'yaev koach, not only the ability to get out of bed in the morning, but He gives us the strength, and we should feel that, the strength that Hashem gives us. Hashem oz le'amo yitein, that Hashem gives strength to His people to withstand some of the most difficult of times. And hopefully this is will be a blessing for all of us as Am Yisrael and the entire world continue to go through a very, very challenging episode. Hopefully we're beginning to see the potential of better days ahead. And we look forward to being able to be together again and to see each other in person and to learn together. But we all take strength this morning from seeing each other online on Zoom and learning together, seeing each other's faces, learning words of Torah. And we should all be blessed with the Hanotein Le'yaev Koach, that Hashem gives each of us the strength to get through our days, both physically, emotionally, and to feel the joy and security of being within, as the book says, the kanfei of the tzel, to be within the shadow, to be under the wings of HaKadosh Baruch Hu.